Thank you. And now for something completely different. Okay. So this talk is basically going to review research priorities in physical activity and aging, results of an expert survey that we have just finished doing in the field, and we have the findings available, and we have a manuscript in development. And I want to acknowledge the multiple co-authors who are mainly associated with the CDC HAN, which is the Healthy Aging Network that is funded by PRC HAN from CDC. In terms of overview, today what I'd like to do is very briefly go through the background, purpose, data collection, methods for the survey, and the results and conclusions that we draw from the results. So in terms of background, sure, most of you in this room are familiar with the 2008 United States Physical Activity Guidelines for Older Adults. They basically call for 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity or 75 minutes of vigorous activity per week, or an equivalent combination of moderate and vigorous per week. And the guidelines also state that additional health benefits can be gained through greater amounts of physical activity. The guidelines are viewed as a minimum amount of physical activity that's required to achieve a health benefit. And also, I'm sure everybody in this room knows that the number of older adults who engage in regular physical activity falls far short of meeting these guidelines, and that's a really huge public health issue right now. So CDC established the Healthy Aging Research Network back in 2001. It encompasses CDC investigators at 8 schools of public health in the United States, and they all have in common expertise in health promotion for older adults. In 2006, CDC HAN established an interest group, the Physical Activity Interest Group, interdisciplinary group of researchers from the HAN sites, and also researchers with expertise in physical activity and aging at other universities and institutions. So, for example, included people from NCOA, AARP, and so on and so forth. The charge to this group was to inventory its members, to assess the current state of knowledge regarding physical activity and aging, and frontiers for basic and applied and translational research on physical activity and aging. So we basically took as our starting point an earlier paper that was written by Tom Prochaska and colleagues and published in 2005. It indicated that progress had been made in documenting the benefits of physical activity, but more research was needed regarding the effects on ethnic racial minorities, on translation research, and on environmental and policy barriers to and facilitators of physical activity. So between 2005 and 2010, where we are right now, the physical activity and aging literature has continued to grow. Multiple studies have come out in that time period with new evidence-based programs, and there is more emphasis in the field right now on translating effective programs as they come, to fruition, and new guidelines for levels and types of older adult participation. There's also been compelling evidence on efficacy that has come out during that time, that physical activity, for example, is associated with improved functional and cognitive status, that it can delay the onset and prevent the progression of frailty, and that can actually reduce the risk of mortality among older adults. So the purpose of the current study was to try to advance the state of knowledge regarding physical activity and aging. And essentially what we tried to do is to identify areas of expert agreement regarding topics that are well understood versus those that are in urgent need of continued research. So essentially we tried to examine the extent to which consensus exists for specific research topics, explore research priorities in the new field of translation and diffusion research, and discover cutting-edge areas that constitute the next frontier of research in the field. The methods that we used were a brief web-based survey to examine perceptions of experts, in the area of physical activity of older adults about the state of research. We used a method similar to a reputation approach. It was also kind of a snowball approach to developing the sample. Panelists were chosen because they were believed to be experts in the field of aging and physical activity. Expert panelists were invited to respond to the survey initially identified by recommendation from members of CDC HAN and the Physical Activity Interest Group. They were wave one of the survey. And then wave one respondents were all asked to nominate people, additional people, who should be included in the survey. And if they really were new and had not already been included in wave one, then we included them in wave two. So the sample included faculty, researchers, clinicians, policymakers, and other key experts who attended the CDC HAN National Conference in 2007, participated in the HAN semi-annual meeting in 2009, were graduates of a course taught at University of South Carolina, and also the members of the interest group and individual nominations, and then again, nominations from the wave one respondents. The instrument was an online survey developed by the interest group and administered using SurveyMonkey, which many of you may be familiar with. We had five content areas. The first was respondent background. Second was strength of available evidence regarding the impact of different types of physical activity on health benefits for older adults and the dose required to achieve those health benefits. Then we asked about priority research areas, including efficacy and effectiveness, translation and diffusion, and understudied populations. And then we asked about topic areas for which research is most urgently needed. And of course, on wave one, we asked for suggestions about additional experts who should be included in the survey. So wave one, we had 350 pre-selected expert panelists. The survey was basically sent out between August 3rd and 24th of 2009. Wave two, we sent it out again to 87 additional panelists who were either non-responders from wave one, whom we were still hoping to engage, or they were suggested as additional contacts by wave one respondents. We used mixed methods analysis. The quantitative data were analyzed using simple descriptive analysis, and then text analysis and coding of the open-ended survey responses were performed independently by three members of the team. Here you can see responders versus non-responders. We got about 38% of the total sample, which is about 131 responders. We were a little disappointed, but again, you need to think about the fact that we had very limited resources for this, and we had very limited time available. So considering the fact that we only really did, you know, kind of one administration of the survey, that's pretty reasonable. And then the good news is when we compared responders to non-responders, you can see that these percentages are really pretty similar. So it doesn't look as if we have any bias going on with respect to responders. Here's their self-assessment of their research expertise, and the really amazing thing to us was that the median or the mean number of years in the physical activity field was 15.6 years. So we think it actually is reasonable to call these people experts. And the other thing is that the majority of respondents conducted intervention research. I was kind of surprised by that, 70%. And had specialized in experimental or quasi-experimental studies or in observational studies. Roughly comparable proportions reported focusing on white, black, and Latino populations. However, the majority had focused on healthy participants, and only 5% reported prior work with older adults with mental illness. So that seemed like a really glaring missed opportunity. With respect to the strength rating for research evidence, the majority felt that the evidence for aerobic exercise and walking programs was strong. However, they rated the evidence for the benefits of resistance exercise, only 49% thought that was strong, followed by 27% for balance and 16% for flexibility. Compared to impact, only 33% of respondents agreed that the dose response evidence for aerobic exercise was strong. And the ratings on dose response for other forms of physical activity were even weaker, ranging from 30% to 5% for flexibility. The types of activity for which dose response was least well understood included flexibility, balance, multi-component programs, and behavior change. Okay. Priority ranking for topics requiring further research, we looked at efficacy and effectiveness, translation, diffusion, supply and demand, and environmental issues. And in terms of efficacy effectiveness, 83% ranked research on impact of PA on cognitive health outcomes as high or very high, followed by 77% ranking multiple risk factor approaches an urgent need, and 75% ranking assessing comparative cost effectiveness as high. In terms of translation and diffusion, people really felt that research on sustainability was very crucially needed, followed by research on adapting interventions for populations with different needs, and then the identification of facilitators of program adoption. With respect to understudied populations, more than two-thirds thought that all of these groups required further research. But in terms of absolute ranking, those of low socioeconomic status and racial ethnic minorities ranked the highest. In terms of additional research on translation and diffusion research for people, for those minority populations shown in the earlier slide, the majority said that all translation topics required additional research for all populations, with proportions ranging from 96% to 67%. In terms of the elements of like the RIA model, the ranking was maintenance followed by implementation, followed by engagement and recruitment. The smallest proportion thought that we needed more efficacy research with people of low SES status. Here's just some qualitative dose response. We know people need to move. What is not clear is how often, how hard, how much with respect to adoption. It's important to learn and then translate what works. It does not work for each group. One size fits does not, you know, is inadequate. Reach and maintenance, only 10 to 30% of participants are men. Where are they? What do they prefer? How can we reach them? Physical environment are environments that support active living in adults, the same for older adults. Policy research is a neglected research priority, but essential for high impact and high reach to promote physical activity. So conclusions, experts agreed that evidence documenting health benefits of specific types of PA was strong except for flexibility. The evidence supporting the dose required to impact specific health outcomes considerably weaker, especially with respect to flexibility, balance, and multiple component programs. So those of you who are planning your applications for the future, hopefully this will be helpful. With respect to efficacy and effectiveness, cognitive health outcomes, multiple risk factor interventions, cost effectiveness research needed, translation and diffusion, successful methods to sustain participants, methods of adapting programs for populations of special needs, research priorities, impact of physical activity policies, impact of the built environment on physical activity engagement, and more research on special populations. So we think that this is one of the first studies to use expert opinion, to actually assess expert opinion, to examine the state of the science of physical activity research with older adult populations. And the good news, and actually we were quite surprised at the amount of consensus that we found. It just really was just leapt out of the tables. And our hope is that the accomplishment of the outlined research agenda can substantially advance the ability of all older adult populations in the U.S. ultimately to adhere to the guidelines with very important implications for their improved health and functioning. So, thank you.